Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. This is episode 66 of the Big Old Podcast. And thank you so much for tuning in. It is always, always a real pleasure to have you here. And I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and your incredibly busy schedule to give us a little listen and see what's going on in all the world of the social, local, mobile web, and how you can use that to market to your customers more effectively and grow your business more effectively. So, as ever, there is just so much we could possibly talk about. You know, the hard part about doing this podcast every week is not finding what to talk about. It's figuring out what to get rid of, what to throw away, because the amount of information that's out there is huge. And this week, what I want to talk about is, first of all, it builds on last week a little bit. I talked about internet marketing to millennials and Gen X and boomers too last week. But a lot of what I was talking about is what the future's going to look like. And what's kind of funny is so much happens in the course of the week that the things that I said were in the future sometimes come to pass, like, immediately. And I'll give you an example. About a year ago, I wrote a post that talked about what Watson, Xbox, and Google are telling you right now. Now, those of you who have listened to the show for a long time, or for any amount of time, know that I talk a lot about what I call the Ag Fam Group, or sometimes, if I'm being particularly pithy, the Ag Family: Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Microsoft. And the reason I talk about them a lot is because they have massive amounts of data about how customers are interacting with digital, how customers are interacting with the web, and they're building a lot of their strategies and a lot of their products and a lot of their services to respond to what customers are doing and where the trends are leading them in the future. So one of the things I talked about last week is how so much of this technology builds, we acquire the technology from millennials. We learn it from our kids. We learn it from the younger people in the workplace who are immersed in the new all day, every day. They learn lots from us, don't get me wrong, but we learn a ton from millennials and from younger people in the workplace, as well we should, because they represent how things will work in the future. So anyway, I mentioned this post where I talked about Watson and Xbox and Google. And the thing that I specifically said in this post was all about the growth of voice as an interface, the way that customers are using voice more and more to supplement what they do. Watson obviously has IBM's supercomputer that beat people at Jeopardy and is now being used in diagnostic situations in hospitals and may soon be answering phone calls in call centers in place of people, right? Because it's able to hear what people say and have a real conversation, not like these pre-programmed things today where you get stuck in these interminable voice trees that are horrid, but actually carrying on a conversation, particularly in very limited domains, right? Xbox is voice-controlled. Google is voice-controlled, both with conversational search as well as some of the interface changes to Android. And things like Siri are voice-controlled. So the reason I'm bringing this up now is because yesterday, Google introduced something really interesting, really cool, called Android Wear, which is their smartwatch operating system. And there is some touch capability in this. It's definitely not designed to be a single interface operating system. It's designed to make the most of multiple forms of input, and one of them is absolutely touch, like we've come to expect on mobile phones and tablets. But the other is voice, and voice plays a big role in how you connect with it. Because when you're using a watch, you don't have the screen real estate you would have on a phone. You don't have the screen real estate that you would have on a tablet. So they're using voice very much to augment that experience and augment how you can interact with the device and get the information that you need to, I don't know, find a brand that you're interested in, or find a product that you're interested in, or find a service that you're interested in, and ideally purchase that. Which really ties into a post that was on the shop.org blog. Now, I don't know if you're all familiar with shop.org, but it's part of the National Retail Federation. And they had a post that talked about five top trends from PSFK's Future of Retail 2014 report, a report that detailed what's the future of retail going to look like. Funny why how they named it that way. And there were two points that they brought up that I thought were really worth mentioning in context, you'll see why I'm laughing in a second, to what I was just talking about. The first of those is contextual support. And what they talk about is how, this is a quote, there is a fine line between welcome information and spam. And that line is defined by relevancy. Devices like Estimote beacons help retailers beam information to a shopper's smartphone at precisely the right moment and location. The other point that they bring up is what they call connected relationship management, which is collecting information. Again, this is me quoting their article, shop.org's article. Collecting information about customers' purchases and preference can help retailers provide better experiences. Now, the question I would ask you is, how do they provide that connected, contextually relevant support and CRM, customer relationship management, or in this case, connected relationship management? Well, by what you're carrying, your mobile device and your tablet, and mostly your mobile phone, because more people are carrying those into stores or carrying those into retail locations or carrying them into restaurants or carrying them into hotels. And increasingly, because of what you're wearing, things like these Android Wear watches that we will see more of, and Apple watches, and Google Glass, and other wearables that will come down the road. You know, interestingly, I read a thing the other day that talked about how English words are bleeding into German. Which I realize this is probably way far afield from what we normally talk about here, but I thought this was really interesting. And one of the things that was in this article was how in Germany, they're using more and more English words, they're borrowing more words from English in their everyday vocabulary. However, because they're not typically native English speakers, what the word they use can be a little different and have a slightly different meaning. And there was one that I just loved. This was on NPR's blog, and I'm going to have a link to it in the show notes as well. But I just loved this one, because what Germans call their mobile device, what they call their cell phones, is a handy. Which, I mean, think about that. How awesome is that? That precisely describes what your mobile phone is. It is something you carry with you everywhere you go. It's always right there in your hand. And it is also incredibly handy for you. You can do so much with it. Now, who knows? Maybe when we get more into wearables and things like that, Germans will start you calling them wristies. I don't know. But I just think handy is such a cool term because it so describes what your customers are doing every day. For instance, Bloomberg has a story that announced where Burger King announced that it's going to start taking mobile phone payment at its stores in the U.S. Why? Because it's handy. It's really handy. As the article says, about 19% of American consumers had recently used a mobile device to make a restaurant pickup or delivery order, according to a 2012 study from Technomic. That will probably increase as younger generations age. Again, going back to our millennials and how they're becoming a larger segment of the purchasing population, and how they're influencing those folks who are in the older generations. Now, that's having a huge impact on the mechanisms that people use today in marketing and what we see brands do. eMarketer talks about the fact that desktop search is going to decline by about $1.4 billion this year. The spend on desktop search ad spending will drop $1.4 billion this year, a little over 9% from 2013, while mobile search will increase 82.3% year over year. It will now reach $9 billion compared with the $13.6 billion or so for desktop search. So why is Google so big on mobile and so bullish on mobile? Because they're seeing it on their bottom line every day. Customers are using mobile more and more to do their search. Now, I gave a presentation a long time ago that talked about today and tomorrow and how mobile affects the customer journey and how your customer's journey is changing. And I've been talking about it in a number of these podcasts this year about how it influences your strategy and how you have to think about your strategy. Well, one of the things is that it also makes social huge. Mobile and social are inextricably linked. Partly because it's handy to do that. It keeps you in contact with the people you want to be in contact with all the time. And so I talked about it yesterday on the blog. I had a post that went through another presentation that I gave, which was all about the four rules of social marketing. And these are going to be true both for mobile and for social because the same pieces hold true in both cases. And the first is that social is people. Your customers, your clients, whatever you prefer to call them, have individual needs and concerns. Social isn't a channel you use to simply shout about yourself. I mean, you can. I wouldn't, but you can. You just won't see any positive results. Instead, you need to listen and understand and engage with your customers in social on their terms. That is, as human beings. And because the role of marketing is to connect customers with a solution, with something that helps them accomplish what they need to do, it leads to the second rule, which is that all marketing is social. And I would say increasingly all marketing is mobile too, but we'll come back to that. You know, you've seen how much customers rely on recommendations from their friends and family and fans and followers on social. They rely on ratings and reviews and things like that. Social is inherently baked into the marketing process. The third rule is that your brand equals what you say plus what guests experience, what your customers experience. Continually, customers are sharing their information with their handy little device, with whomever they're connected to. I just had a bad experience. I'm going to text my friends. I'm going to tweet to my friends. I'm going to post something on Facebook. Or I'm going to take a picture of this really cool thing that I got. You know, I had this fantastic meal. Let me post that on Instagram. They're continually sharing this information, and they're helping to define your brand, whether you want them to or not. And so we need to continue to think about that and make ourselves an attractive option in how we help our customers meet their needs. And then the fourth rule, and this is the biggest one, is there are no rules. As I put in the post yesterday, for those of you who've seen Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm a fan of that movie a lot, there's this other pirate captain, Barbossa, who says, you know, they're more of what you'd call guidelines than actual rules. And that's really true for social, and it's increasingly true for mobile, too. We're learning what some of the rules are. But as your customers evolve, as your customers change, as your customers adapt to this new reality, how you're going to help them and what they're going to need you to do for them will evolve and change as well. And that's one of the reasons I've been talking about the importance of change and the importance of developing a digital marketing strategy that accounts for change and building that into your process, because we know that's going to be true both now and in the future. So to bring this back, you know, all the way back to where we started from, your customers, whether they are millennials, whether they are Gen X, whether they are boomers, are evolving and adapting, and they're going to use whatever's handy to answer their questions and meet their needs. And the brands and the businesses that do a good job of helping support them meet those needs in mobile and in social in a way that recognizes that they're people and they have these needs and that they are, their marketing supports social and that they help the customer tell the brand story on their behalf are the brands that are going to do the best both today and in the future. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are about out of time. As ever, I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in and remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and selecting the subscribe option in any of our episodes. Or you can subscribe in iTunes or on Stitcher or your favorite podcatcher by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. And to remind you that you can podcast too, sure, if you like. I highly recommend it. I'm a big fan. But you can email us. You can email me at podcast@timpeter.com with any comments or questions or concerns or thoughts or just anything you happen to be thinking about at the given time. I do love to hear from you. And as ever, I do love that you tune in each and every week. I really appreciate you being here. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and I'll look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.